Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Anteris Third Quarter 2013 Operating and Financial Results Conference Call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If anyone has any difficulties during the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I will now hand the conference over to Jack Howarth, Anteris Vice President of Corporate Affairs. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Julie, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on today's call. We announced third quarter 2013 operating results and recent achievements earlier this morning, and the press release can be found on the Anteris website at www.anterispharma.com under the Investor Relations tab. Before we begin, please be advised that during the course of this call, we may make forward-looking statements concerning the company that are not historical facts. These forward-looking statements may include, but are not limited to, statements concerning the timing of product sales, market estimates, market potential and growth prospects, technology platforms, and working capital needs. Forward-looking statements provide Anteris current expectation or forecast of future events. Actual results could differ materially from those reflected in these forward-looking statements due to decisions of regulatory authorities and Anteris' ability to execute on its development plans, capital needs, and general financial, economic, regulatory, and political conditions affecting the pharmaceutical industry generally. Additional information concerning these risks and uncertainties are contained in the Risk Factors section of Anteris' annual report on Form 10-K and in Anteris' periodic filings and other filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Anteris is providing this information as of the date of this release and does not undertake any obligation to update any forward-looking statements contained in this earnings call as a result of new information, future events, or circumstances after the date hereof, except as required by law or otherwise. The company cautions investors not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Joining me on the call today are Dr. Paul Watton, President and Chief Executive Officer, Robert Apple, Chief Financial Officer and President of the Parenteral Products Group, and LaRue Uesta, Senior Vice President, Pharmaceutical Sales and Marketing. After the presentation, we will open the lines for Q&A. I'll now turn the call over to Paul Watton. Paul?
Thanks, Jack, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to report to all of our stockholders on our progress since the last quarterly update call. And as you can see from today's announcement and the significant announcements we've made over the past few months, Anteris is now positioned to enter 2014 with the launch of Otrexup, the first of what I believe to be many product opportunities that we will create using our core technology. It's been 5 years since we embarked on a strategy to turn a great but underappreciated technology platform into an innovative and proprietary product pipeline that will underpin the growth of a unique specialty pharmaceutical company. Now, the Otrexup approval represents a pivotal event in the development of our company. This product approval by FDA demonstrates both the validation of our technology platform as well as the development pathway that we have chosen. Otrexup took just 3 years to complete between IND filing and NDA approval. At the same time, we've also been able to implement robust management processes to capture the essential elements of innovation in every aspect of our business that I believe are necessary for success. We have built a 505B2 machine with numerous product opportunities underpinned by broad intellectual property protection. And this ability to create economic value by developing good medical products will continue to drive our success, especially when coupled with an organizational culture that strives to be the best and is focused on creating long-term shareholder value. Now, if 2013 was fast-paced, then 2014 will be an even busier year for Anteris, with the launch of Otrexup early in Q1, and our QST program under development for testosterone deficiency, or low T, entering its pivotal clinical studies in preparation for a potential NDA filing in 2015. Let me begin today's call with a high-level overview on where we are with respect to Otrexup, and then I will ask LaRue Uesta to provide more details with a commercial update. Now, after significant labeling negotiations, the FDA notified us that the Otrexup product had received marketing approval, ending a productive and interactive 10-month review process for the agency. Our approval announcement represented a strategic milestone for the company because, as I stated earlier, the approval of Otrexup also validates our proprietary Vibex MediJet platform. It also underlined our ability to get an NDA approved for drug device combination products in a timely manner. The credit not only goes to the FDA, but to the whole of our team here at Antares as well. And I want to thank them for the endless hours they worked fielding requests for information regarding the application and final label insert, a package insert that we believe is favorable from a commercial standpoint. There are numerous published peer-reviewed literature examples, mainly from Europe, showing the utility of subcutaneous methotrexate in the treatments of conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis. And the medical community is well aware of this. For the first time, Antares showed that the systemic availability of Atrexup when compared to oral methotrexate exposure increased in a dose-dependent manner at doses of 15 milligrams per week and higher, whereas oral administration shows a plateau effect. And this data has been included in our label. The psoriasis label language also includes a section that the use of Atrexup may permit the return to conventional topical therapy, which should be encouraged. And from a commercialization and messaging standpoint, we are very pleased with the final package insert that we received. While the Antares medical and regulatory people were working on the Atrexup label, the commercial team continued to work on the launch plans. The commercial launch will take place early in Q1 2014, and we are making great progress towards this goal, which Veru will discuss in a few moments. And one of the points I'd like to emphasize is that we will be going into this launch as well prepared as possible and with the best resources in place than we can find, as evidenced by the recent appointment to the management team of Dr. Bruce Freundlich, a highly regarded rheumatologist with vast industry and academic experience in this field. Professionals like Bruce, with varied interests and many choices available, only take positions when they can see that their own vision, driven by a desire to enhance patients' lives significantly, is matched by the vision and drive of the organization that they are joining. Now, over 18 months ago, we began to assemble a highly experienced commercial team here at Antares. And given that this is our first launch, I felt that it was important to hire the best commercial professionals in the rheumatology space. We did just that. The Antares commercial team that has been assembled here has over 100 collective years of broad healthcare and rheumatology product launch experience. Whether it's sales, marketing, medical publications, or managed markets, the team has first-hand experience in launching rheumatology products, specifically biologics such as Enbrel or Orencia. So they really know the space, and they know all of the players in the field. Currently, we now have 3 district managers in place, 6 medical science liaison, and 6 national account managers appointed. At this point, we are recruiting our sales force. It's a good point now to hand over to LaRue to update everyone on the progress we are making towards the commercialization of Atrexup as we enter the final straight. LaRue?
Well, thank you, Paul, and good morning to everyone listening, and thanks, Jack and Paul, for the first time you actually pronounced my last name correctly, although I think I'm totally happy with anyone calling me LaRue. What I'd like to do is update everyone on where we are with our launch plans, our marketing initiatives, and managed market discussions that we've been having since June. And now, most importantly, we will be prepared and ready to launch Otrexup in January. We've established a very experienced commercial leadership team, including strong rheumatoid arthritis capability in managed markets, in marketing, and sales, and more importantly, also now in rheumatology with Dr. Freundlich joining us. Now, these are all Antares employees. Through our partnership with Quintiles, we've embedded a fully dedicated Quintiles management team within Antares, and all the field personnel are also fully dedicated to Otrexup. With 6 managed market account professionals who've been calling on managed care organizations, third-party payers since June. And in September, we deployed 6 fully dedicated medical science liaison professionals, and they have already initiated dialogue with many key opinion leaders in rheumatoid arthritis. They also attended the American College of Rheumatology meeting in San Diego last week and were able to catch up with many of their old colleagues and friends. The Otrexup sales force will only promote Otrexup, and 3 dedicated district sales managers are currently interviewing candidates for the 25 sales representative positions. Now, we had more than 500 applications, and many job offers have already been made. Several have also accepted. Now, the scope and depth of these candidates' experience will result in a very competent sales force of professionals with extensive experience in rheumatoid arthritis. We expect to have all 25 positions filled by Thanksgiving, with training slated to start in December. On the managed market front, where I'm sure all of you are very interested to learn about our progress, we've developed and already started to implement a comprehensive strategy for access and third-party reimbursement. And so far, the results have been very encouraging. The feedback indicates strong recognition and acceptance of the Otrexup value proposition. In fact, most rheumatologists and third-party payers are keen to know more about treatment options that may delay the use of more expensive drugs in many RA patients when oral methotrexate no longer provides an adequate response. The pricing strategy for Otrexup has been validated by feedback from last month's Association of Managed Care Professionals meeting in San Antonio, but also from several managed care organizations and third-party payers that we've been talking to since the FDA approval. Of course, we can only speak about Otrexup and pricing following the approval. Now, our discussions with pharmacy and medical directors suggest that most likely initial access to Otrexup will be at Tier 3, and several plans have mentioned the possibility of Tier 2 placement. I can also confirm today that last week we met the deadline for mandatory Medicare and Medicaid state coverage effective January 1st, 2014. On the marketing front, we have leveraged the team's established and strong relationships with many of the top key opinion leaders in rheumatology to create awareness of subcutaneous methotrexate utility and, more importantly, of Otrexup, and to strengthen the body of clinical evidence supporting the use of subcutaneous methotrexate. We've made tremendous progress in analyzing several rheumatoid arthritis databases, both in Europe and in the U.S., to develop new publications that support the use of subcutaneous methotrexate. Our advisory boards and key opinion leader advisors have validated the positioning and messaging for Otrexup, and we will have a national speaker bureau of 20 to 25 influential rheumatologists soon after the launch of Otrexup. There was quite a buzz around Otrexup at this year's American College of Rheumatology meeting held last week in San Diego. Prior to the American College of Rheumatology meeting, we had an advisory board meeting with 18 influential rheumatologists. And at the American College of Rheumatology conference, we presented data from the Otrexup studies during poster sessions. Dr. Mike Schiff of the University of Colorado also highlighted the subcutaneous methotrexate autoinjector blood level data versus the oral methotrexate plateau during a podium presentation in a clinical session. Now, I'd like to briefly discuss some of the key marketing messages and initiatives we will begin to deliver to healthcare professionals once the product is launched at the end of January. Otrexup can optimize treatment in many patients who have not achieved an adequate response to oral methotrexate. Otrexup enhances and extends the clinical utility of methotrexate through increased bioavailability and improved tolerability. Otrexup also provides a state-of-the-art auto-injector system for methotrexate delivery. The Vibex MediJet device has been shown to be easy to use and virtually painless. It is very important that the initial patient, nurse, and doctor experience with Otrexup is a positive experience. A first impression in-office support program has been designed to assist in educating patients on Otrexup, facilitate self-administration training, provide a sample for the first dose, as well as a copay assistant card and a free program for responsible disposal and recycling of the device. We've been busy, but it's been fun and satisfying, especially because of the interest and excitement we see and hear when talking to rheumatologists and third-party payers. Reminds me a lot of my experience when Enbrel was launched, only this time we're talking about methotrexate, the anchor drug in rheumatoid arthritis, and far more than a decade, actually 2 decades, but it still creates a buzz. I shall now hand you back to Paul to summarize some of the additional progress we've made in the past few months.
Hey, thanks, LaRue. I'd also like to emphasize on this call that we continue to make progress on all of our pipeline projects, including those partnered with Teva. But today is all about the progress we've made recently on our internal pipeline, which will drive the future for this company. So consequently, I want to take a minute to update you on another program in the clinic that's become somewhat overshadowed by the Otrexup news, but which is in every way just as important. On September the 16th, we announced that the first patients have been dosed in our quick-shot testosterone study in low-T males. This dose-ranging study is designed to evaluate testosterone and anthate administered weekly by subcutaneous injection at doses of 50 and 100 milligrams. Dosing of patients using QST is fully enrolled ahead of schedule, and initial reports back from the sites confirm that our belief that the QuickShot device is delivering accurate and convenient injections of the drug, which is formulated in a viscous vehicle, in less than 5 seconds, which is quite an achievement in its own right. I can also report that initial data that I have seen just last week indicates that in the first few patients, we've obtained blood level curves of testosterone consistent with endpoints that we were targeting and designed to smooth out the peak-to-trough ratios seen with other injectable forms and appear similar to those seen with daily applications of a gel. Complete results of this study should be available early in the first quarter of next year, but the early signs are looking good, and I'm extremely encouraged by this program. I also stand by my belief that we will be ready to launch this product in 2016 based on the current timelines, which are based on solid experience that we have gained from our Atrexup development program. I'd also like to highlight progress we've made in obtaining new intellectual property around our drug device combination products. We started an aggressive patent strategy 5 years ago when this management team took over the company. We're starting to see the fruits of this strategy today. In the past few months, we've received 3 new patents that will cover Otrexup, as well as other pipeline projects, and I expect this rate of productivity to be maintained. Antares was one of the pioneers in injectable technology, and in fact has auto-injector patents dating back to 1999, which means we have a comprehensive base from which to grow. The Otrexup product itself is now protected by at least 7 different patents going out as far as 2030, and we shall make sure that this IP estate is enforced aggressively over the long term. And one final expanded thought on intellectual property. We believe that the IP work done here at Antares, and I think it's one of our most valuable assets, is good. As an example, the hazardous agent injection patent system was granted in late June. This patent was broad as well as comprehensive and covers, amongst other things, our injection system with methotrexate amounting from 0.02 milliliters to about 4 mils in injection volume, and at a concentration of about 7.5 milligrams per mil to about 150 milligrams per mil, as well as including things like needle gauge, injection outlet, firing mechanism, trigger mechanism, spring, etc. So you can see that we've covered a Trexup with a patent that has broad claims and should protect the asset for a number of years. There are other patents pending as well, but this gives you some idea that we have spent plenty of time and resourcing protecting a Trexup, QST, and QSM, which we're still working on, and it's fundamental to the strength of our drug-device combination platform. I'm now going to turn the call over to Bob to comment on the third quarter and year-to-date financials. Bob?
Thanks, Paul. Before I get into the financials, I'd like to make a few comments regarding our third quarter and ongoing investments in the launch of Otrexup and the QuickShot testosterone project. Otrexup, or subcutaneous methotrexate for injection, is a novel way to extend the use of methotrexate when treating patients with RA and psoriasis. In addition to hiring a sales force, investments in other launch activities, including publications utilizing historical subcutaneous treatment data, must be made in order to educate rheumatologists, nurses, patients, and caregivers as to the therapeutic importance of switching RA patients that fail oral methotrexate to Otrexup. In clinical studies conducted by Antares, subcutaneously administered methotrexate showed greater bioavailability to oral methotrexate at doses of 15 milligrams or greater. You only get one chance to launch a product, and we are committed to correctly investing behind this launch, as you can see from today's third quarter and year-to-date results. The same can be said for investments in our pipeline. This past quarter, we initiated, among other things, the first human studies utilizing testosterone in the Vivex QuickShot device. We believe that QuickShot testosterone for testosterone-deficient males could potentially be another big product for us, and so we will be investing in studies and manufacturing scale-up in order to stay on track for a 2015 NDA filing. Turning now to our financial results, total revenues were $5.5 million and $5.7 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2013 and 2012. For the 9 months ended September 30, 2013, the company's total revenue was $15.9 million compared to $17.1 million in the first 9 months of 2012. Product sales were $3 million in the third quarter of 2013 compared to $2.1 million in 2012, an increase of 48%. For the 9 months ended September 30, 2013,
Product sales increased 30% to $10.1 million compared to $7.8 million in the prior year. The product sales increases were primarily due to sales to Teva, a Revivex auto-injector for Teva's generic epinephrine auto-injector product. Development revenues were $1.3 million in the three-month period ending September 30, 2013, compared to $2.6 million in the prior year period. In the 9 months ending September 30, 2013, the company's development revenue was $2.7 million compared to $6.3 million in the first 9 months of 2012. The revenue in the first 9 months of 2013 was primarily due to auto-injector and pen-injector development work for Teva. The revenue in the first 9 months of 2012 was primarily due to a non-recurring FDA approval milestone payment of $2.5 million, recognized in connection with our license agreement with Actavis, along with development revenue from Teva. The development revenue in the 3 and 9 month periods of 2012 also included $750,000 from Pfizer after the achievement of a development milestone related to our undisclosed consumer healthcare product. For the first 9 months of 2013, licensing revenues were $200,000 compared to $800,000 in the first 9 months of 2012. Licensing revenue in the third quarter and first 9 months of 2013 was primarily due to recognition of revenue deferred in prior years under agreements with Ferring. The licensing revenue in the first 9 months of 2012 was primarily due to an upfront license fee received in connection with our license agreement with Daewoong Pharmaceuticals for our 3% oxybutynin gel for South Korea, along with license revenue recognized in connection with our license agreement with Actavis. Royalty revenues were $1.1 million in the three-month period ended September 30, 2013, compared to $900,000 in the same period of the prior year. For the nine-month period ended September 30, 2013 and 2012, royalty revenues were $2.9 million and $2.2 million. We received royalties from Teva and Ferring related to needle-free injected device sales and or HGH sales, from Actavis on sales of Gelnique, and from Meta Pharma on sales of Elestrin. The primary reason for the increase in the royalty revenue in 2013 compared to 2012 were royalties received from Actavis on sales of Gelnique 3% and 10%. Important to note that in the third quarter, we had significant growth in what I believe are the key areas of revenue, product revenue, and royalties. Total gross profit was $2.5 million and $2.4 million in the third quarters of 2013 and 2012, respectively. It was $7.4 million for the first 9 months of 2013 compared to $9.3 million for the first 9 months of 2012. The decrease in the first 9 months of 2013 compared to 2012 was mainly due to the non-recurring FDA approval milestone payment of $2.5 million from Actavis, recognized as revenue in 2012. Total operating expenses were $8.9 million and $5.9 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2013 and 2012, respectively, and were $22.3 million and $15.7 million for the 9 months ended September 30, 2013 and 2012, respectively. The increases were primarily due to an increase in Otrexup commercialization and marketing activities in anticipation of an early 2014 launch, and increased development activity related to Vivex QST, which is under development for testosterone replacement therapy, along with an increase in personnel to support our growing pharmaceutical business. Net loss per share was 5 cents and 3 cents for the third quarters of 2013 and 2012, respectively, and was 12 cents and 6 cents for the 9 month period ended September 30, 2013 and 2012. At September 30, 2013, Antares is well positioned with approximately $70 million in cash and investments, compared to approximately $85 million at December 31, 2012. I will now turn the call back to Paul for some closing comments. Paul.
Thanks, Bob. So the company has just finished its first five-year strategic plan under the current leadership. In fact, I took over the company on the same day as we received our Otrexup approval just 5 years ago, and we're embarking on an even more aggressive plan for the next 5 years. We will continue to grow the organization with talented and experienced individuals being added, develop our pipeline, invest in expanded intellectual property and successfully execute on our launch plans for Otrexup and all other potential products going forward that are approved. Finally, I would like to thank all of the dedicated professionals here at Antares, particularly those who worked on the product approval for Otrexup, of whom there are many. It's a pleasure to work with the best group of people that I've ever worked with personally, and I look forward to continued success together in the future. Thank you, everyone, for your attention. I'll now open the lines for your questions. Operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct a question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. Our first question comes from Louise Chen from Guggenheim Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I had a few. So first question I had was just on the launch trajectory that you're expecting for Trexup. Do you expect that to be a fast launch or something more measured? And then how should we be modeling the expenses in the fourth quarter and in 2014 to support the launch? And then second thing is just on, your pipeline products. Any update on your collaborative product with Pfizer, the OTC product? And then EpiPen generic, could you possibly get approval, like a tentative approval next year? And if you were to do that, would that tentative approval state whether or not it was AB rated? Thank you.
Thanks, Louise. I think I recorded about four or five questions there, so I'll delegate these out, but appreciate the interest. First, I think the first question you asked was about the trajectory of the launch for methotrexate. We're obviously gearing up to launch that product, and you know that we're a fairly conservative group here when it comes to making statements, but I'll ask LaRue just to comment on his feelings in terms of how the launch will go.
Yeah, thanks again for that question, Louise. I'm sure I'm not going to give you the specificity that you're looking for, but I can tell you that we're optimistic about access because of the discussions that we've had with our third-party payers. And we've already had discussions with payers that provide coverage for more than 200 million lives in the United States. And we've received feedback from them that they recognize the value proposition, that they will most likely put this product in Tier 3 with a copay at launch. And as time goes by and demand kicks in and they truly see the value being recognized in their plans, that a Tier 2 positioning is likely in many of these plans. So we're optimistic about access and coverage. As far as the trajectory, we'll be calling on the top 2,500-plus rheumatologists who are responsible for prescribing in excess of 80% of the methotrexate prescriptions. So we'll be there with frequency. Feedback we've had today from all rheumatologists that we've talked to is an interest in the product, and they definitely recognize clinical use in patients who have not had an adequate response to oral methotrexate. So it's really going to be a what I would call a steady uptake over time. One patient per office per week or however you wish to look at it, but we have not yet modeled a specific trajectory. We are planning for success, and we'll have adequate launch inventory we'll have inventory for the full year, which is very important to our customers, as if they've told us they don't want to face the situation of being out of stock, as they have been disappointed in the past, and they can't have their patients come back and say, I can't get a hold of a prescription. So we're planning for success, and we expect a very reasonable uptake.
Thanks, Drew. Louise, I think you have one other question on the expenses in Q4, which I'll hand over to Bob.
Yeah, Louise, I think from an expense standpoint, I think our R&D will be consistent from this period, really going forward for the next year or so. As we move into the QST development, essentially replacing the development cost. We're clearly going to see an uptick in sales and marketing costs next quarter as we get ready to launch the product, bringing in the sales force and so forth. So, I would expect to see that go up by basically about 2 cents per share on a cost standpoint. And then the rest of the line items will be consistent, pretty much flat.
Yeah.
Louise, I just want to clarify one thing because I think it may be misinterpreted. I may have given misguidance there. I think I misspoke and said one patient per week per rheumatologist. That is, in fact, not correct. That would be really good for us. So, we've not yet modeled something specific, but we would expect rheumatologists to consider patients on a monthly basis in their offices.
Louise, the other questions were on the Pfizer program.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, the only update I can give you there is that it continues to be on track, and they are still I believe, looking at a 2016 launch for that product. The EpiPen, we've been shipping materials to Teva. The only date we're looking at actually is the June 2015 commercialization date for the product. I do know that Teva made good progress on that program, and we are still looking forward to the 2015 launch. And we actually, to all the other part of your question, we still believe that this is going to be an AB-rated product, period.
Would you know that at the time of tentative approval, if you were to get one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And do you have any update on your Advil gel program?
Sorry? I missed the question. Okay.
Julie, can we have the next question, please?
Absolutely. Our next question comes from Akita Sell from Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking the questions.
With psoriasis
being included in the Atrexif label, I'm just wondering how you think about the different options available to capitalize on that.
That's a great question. We do have interest in that asset from partners who specialize in dermatology, and I would anticipate commercializing that with a partner.
Okay, great. And then maybe a question for LaRue. Can we get any more color on the conversations with third-party payers? It's been, only a few weeks since approval. Just wondering, how many of those meetings you've had and sort of how the discussion's been going so far.
So we had a phased approach, Kiva. as of June through the end of September, we focused on the top 30 third-party payers in rheumatology who provide coverage for about 200 million lives. And we've had face-to-face meetings with 29 of these. So far, the only plan that has indicated that as a matter of policy, they will not provide access in the first 6 months after approval is United. And this is only for those people who are fully insured, which is about half of the lives. So you have about 10 million who are excluded in the first 6 months after approval. However, with a late January launch, we will have already had four of those 6 months behind us. So we anticipate having a access even at United. But all other plans, as I said, have given us a very favorable response. Then as of the beginning of October, we've branched out and began talking to an additional, what we call second-tier third-party payers who cover about 30 million or so lives. And we've to date seen about half of those and similarly have received very positive feedback. We've now also started having initial discussions with government payers where we can, and even there we're beginning to get a positive feedback.
Thanks, that's helpful, and congratulations on all the recent progress.
Thanks, Kiva.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the one. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the headset before pressing the keys. Our next question comes from Matt Kaplan from Ladenburg Thalmann. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's Matt Kaplan. Number one, congrats on the approval and most specifically the broad label that you received for Atrexa. Could you give a little bit more detail, just diving in a little bit more in terms of the positioning of the product and also a sense of pricing? How are you going to price the product as well? And I'll start there and have a couple other questions after that.
Well, thank you, Matt Kaplan. I'm going to hand this back to LaRue because he's so close to this one that he can give you a much better answer than I can. So, Lou, why don't you just comment?
Thanks, Matt. First, let me answer the question on pricing. We have started discussions and disclosed to third-party payers that our wholesale acquisition cost will be $548 per prescription. And with that said, we continue to have positive feedback from third-party payers.
And that prescription will cover what period of time?
It's 4 units once a week, so that is a 4-week treatment period. Regarding positioning, it's straightforward. Any patient who has had an inadequate response to oral methotrexate, whether that be for efficacy or tolerability, which is, you know, 95% of patients who end up on methotrexate at some other point in time, of those who discontinue or add additional drugs, you know, for either efficacy or tolerability, those are all patients that would be considered potentially treatable with Otrexa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And then just with respect to the launch costs, Bob, you indicated 2 cents per share. Could you kind of fine tune that a little bit for us in terms of how that's going to be kind of broken down in terms of advertising and I guess internal costs a little bit, and in terms of the sales and sales team and the cost of that?
Yeah, I think that it's actually a pretty tough question to answer, but I would say that it's probably evenly split between the sales force and the additional marketing costs. Okay. You know, LaRue and his team have been spending a lot of time on positioning the product. We spent a lot of time and energy and money at ACR and really having a great response there as the initial kind of overview of the product and how it fits into their treatment regimen, and it was very well received. And so I think that, you know, between the sales and marketing on a go-forward basis, it's probably going to be equal, at least initially in the first year of launch. As you know, you do tend to spend more in marketing in the first year, and then hopefully you have a successful product and it starts to trail off a little bit. And, with the sales force, I think that we have the standard industry average as to what a sales force costs you per rep. And, we'll give a little bit more guidance on that in the beginning of next year so you guys understand where we're going to be, for 2014. But for this quarter that we're currently in, it's probably equally split between sales and marketing.
Great. Thanks. And then one question, and I guess for Paul. You mentioned your 505(b)(2) engine, and can you describe that engine a little bit more in terms of the number of perhaps NDAs, INDs, that, or some of the metrics along those lines that you expect on an annual basis?
Yeah, actually, Matt, that's a good question. So, our goal here is to basically turn that engine as many times as possible, as quickly as possible. We actually got the IND filed for Otrexup, and we got the approval under our belt within 3 years. We anticipate being able to do that again with testosterone, which will be entering the clinic next year in the sort of pivotal studies, and we're planning a filing on that in 2015. The next program behind that, the QSM, we will be filing an IND for that in probably around the middle of next year. So that's basically going to be a sort of 2017-2018 event. And we've identified a number of other compounds behind that where you can really make a difference to the performance of the drug and add a therapeutic benefit. And I think that's really key here. What we do is look at making sure that we develop a therapeutic benefit above and beyond just traditional compliance, for example. And that's where the marketing discipline comes in here. But I'm anticipating that we could be looking at going forward one product a year on average for 5 to 10 years.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ken.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to management for the closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks again for listening to today's conference call. If you have any follow-up questions, please call me at 609-359-3016. That completes today's call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect.